The Good, the Bad, and the Boucherian.
The Good, the Bad, and the Boucherian.
And folks, you're listening to The Good, the Bad, and the Boucherian.
But like that first meeting when all Form 1s are there, like, it's like an induction or something. Please tell me why. Again, I have to say this. Like, I'm being very humble when I say this. Please tell me why when I'm in the auditorium, I am seeing nearly 40% of the people there are like shaved clean. That is the one thing that shocked me. I was like, do I have to cut my hair as well? This hair that I've taken years to grow. No, I wanted to cry. I wanted to cry because I was like, is there something that I'm not being told? Like, do we have to shave our hair? It's like the, you know, like how when you join military, like they shave you clean. That's how I thought it was going to be. So like, that hit me so hard. That's the first thing. Second thing, waking up at 5 a.m.? 5 a.m., 4 a.m.? You don't have to show your life on social media. Social media is socializing and putting out media, but like you don't need to put your personal life out there. So how I put that balance is, I've had a debate so many times with my family where they're like, oh, why don't you put us on your Instagram? Why don't you show us? I'm just like, I don't think I want like that kind of distraction or that kind of invasion in my life. So you are my peace and I will always protect my peace. I don't need anybody else coming to distract it or be entitled or like take it away. You need audit your friends right now. If you haven't already, audit them now. Like write a list of all your friends and like I'll say this, like kind of like audit them. Like, how does this person impact you in my life? Is it in a positive way? Is it in a negative way? I feel like that's how I'm able to really like, you know, differentiate who is my friend, who is just like, you know, an acquaintance or like just somebody who I meet for whatever. Because the thing is, if you don't know how to differentiate your friends who are like close to you and those like who probably you go out with or those you meet at work or those who you're at uni with, you're going to have a very big problem because you will think all your friends are supposed to treat you in a certain way when they are just friends for like certain situations. So I think you should do like a very, very good audit, like a very deep dive audit of your friends, because it gets to a point where if you're having a difficulty, you need to know who you're going to be talking to. Or like if you're having a good time or like you've had like this kind of like,
it's your boy Billy and we're back at it with another episode. Hope you guys are keeping well, keeping safe, and things are going well on your side as they are on mine, and you're still preparing for the podcast, which is now in a week's time. Hope your teams are getting ready and you know, you're doing your homework to understand more about the podcast even as we gear up to the event. Surprisingly, I'm talking to so many people and a lot of people are very optimistic that they'll win the prize, so let's see. But back to business. Today, my guest in studio is Michelle Nimo, an engineer by day, a chemical engineer at that by day, a content creator by night, a mixologist, an avid reader, and so many more things in between that she'll tell us in the podcast. And it's amazing to have her on the podcast today. So, Michelle.
I'm always wondering how didn't high school math traumatize you guys to still do engineering?
No, I don't understand how you did. I don't know how you did like math. I loved math.
No, I didn't like math, but did math like me? You know, those are the three things at play.
That is actually a very smart question.
But wasn't math deep as in surely? Let's circle back. Give me context about Michelle that would make me understand who Michelle was and who she currently is. So was Michelle the shy girl in class, the confident girl in class? How was her childhood? So I can understand first why you loved math and how you've been able to show up for yourself in the world and show out as who you really are, you know? Tell me about the good, the bad.
So getting this started, I don't know. Let me talk about the Michelle back in the day. The Michelle back in the day was a very shy girl. I'm going to give context in the sense that when I moved from private school to public school, that is a very, very big change. In so many ways, man. It's a very big, humbling change. Coming from the context of that, you're changing from like speaking English to like speaking Swa Sheng, and I didn't know any Swa or Sheng, so that really humbled me when I got to high school. Still, like when you're in high school, I feel like you like, especially Alliance is a very like enclosed, it's a boarding school to start with. So like when you're in that environment, you know, mm-hmm. like your factors, you know what you're playing around with, you know what you're dealing with on a day-to-day basis for like 4 years straight, you know like how things are running, like everything is a routine. But then when it comes to now, things are very different. So back in the day, like I feel like one, when I was in high school, I was kind of confident, not so confident, in the sense that like I kind of knew who I was because people already portrayed an image of me as this girl, she came from private school, she speaks a lot of English, da 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 da. And then mm-hmm. now when it comes to outside world, it's different. It's so different. It's humbling. Like there's so many stages of you being humbled by the world that it's a constant learning process. Yes. So I would say like the girl who was in high school back then is not the same person who I am today. And I don't know. I give a lot of credit to Alliance. I'm not gonna lie to you, but like
really?
Alliance humbled me. Yes. We don't speak enough about it, but Alliance really humbled me so that by the time that I'm entering, you know, when you move from high school and then you're coming to the real world where you're working, you're doing things for yourself, Alliance really shaped me to be the person who I am today. So the person who I am today, I'll tell you, like, I'm very chilled. Like, anything can come my way and I'd be like, okay, nah, what else? I've seen worse. So
yes, yes.
I think, I don't know, the person who I was then and who I am now, very two different people. And if I could talk to her today, I'll be like, girl, you have seen nothing. This is nothing. So, you know, you just live your life, do what you have to do.
That's yes.
I'll say about like the two personalities that I was then and who I am now.
But let's talk about that more. Where first talk to me about, did you ever experience this culture shock, where first did you experience culture shock, and two, this stereotypic way that guys would look at you, that now you're from Nairobi, and so guys, even without you portraying yourself in a certain way, guys already classify you in a certain group, and so of course want to vilify you for some reasons, some things you've not even done. So just like what's not happening? Did you ever experience anything of the sort? And as well with that, as well, talk to me about, of course, going to Alliance meant in primary you are really doing well in high school, and then you come to a school where everyone else is doing well, and then
you have to eat
a proper humble pie. Talk to me about that.
That is for sure. I have experienced culture shock, I think, every 2 to 3 years of my life since I entered high school. I entered high school, and please don't think of this as being stereotypical. Again, I have to say that I came from like private to public school. So when I joined Alliance the first day, oh my God, I think I really set myself up, because first off, I was very lucky enough to have, you know, like how you used to have moms and dads. I don't know how you used to do it, like in your time, but like for us, I got like a school mom, and she was in Form 3. And lucky for me, she was those people who you couldn't mess around with. So, like, the first day that I reported, I don't even know how she picked me, but she picked me, and she ended up being my school mom. And I got a lot of support, and, like, let me say, like, backup and defense. Like, I'm in Form 1, and you have a Form 3 mom. Not even a Form 2. Form 3 mom. Don't play around with me. Like, don't play around with me. They had those moms where you couldn't even approach her. So, I was lucky then, but then the one thing that hit me, I'm not going to lie to you, we had the, I can't remember what it's called, but like that first meeting when all Form 1s are there, like an induction or something. Please tell me why. Again, I have to say this, like I'm being very humble when I say this. Please tell me why when I'm in the auditorium, I am seeing nearly 40% of the people there are like shaved clean. That is the one thing that shocked me. I was like, do I have to cut my hair as well? this hair that I've taken years to grow. No, I wanted to cry. I wanted to cry because I was like, is there something that I'm not being told? Like, do we have to shave our hair? It's like the, you know, like how when you join military, like they shave you clean. That's how I thought it was going to be. So like, that hit me so hard. That's the first thing. Second thing, waking up at 5 a.m. 5 a.m. 4 a.m. to be in class at 6:30 for preps. What is that? I did not understand what morning preps meant. I'm like, why am I waking up this early to do what? And then you're going to look for water. You're going to, oh my God. I felt like I was actually like in the militia. Like I was training to join like the military. Like it was crazy. Mm-hmm. That was a culture shock that I've never gotten. Like even as you progress in time, like I got used to it, obviously. And again, I keep saying like it humbles me. But even like as you progress on, the culture shock that you get when you're out of high school and then now into the real world, it's crazy because now you are, let's say, more or less like in a professional setting. You're dealing with people from all cultures and all backgrounds. So I think I've always been hit by culture shock in one way or another, but I'm very, very open to it. It's a learning process. It's a learning journey. So I'm very open to like everything. It's just the adjustment is what I will say is hard, but everything else is like, it's a learning curve. It's a learning curve.
So someone said intelligence is the ability to adapt. And clearly, as you said, you have to learn to adapt to all the situations. So for you, what are some of the ways you've been able to learn to adapt? Because for some of us, adapting is very hard because you don't like change. A lot of us like to stick to the what we know and how we know it. And so change really destabilizes us. But someone said the only constant thing in life is change. So for you, how are you able to constantly, you know, morph and change from time to time?
In the same light and the same spirit that you have just mentioned, success is change management. So for you to actually be successful in anything or anywhere that you are in, you have to be able to adapt to your environment, to the people around you, to whatever that is surrounding you. You have to be able to adapt and adapt very quickly because there's no one who is going to be there to babysit you and to spoon feed you and everything. It's like you learn, like time is money. Time is literally money. So you better pick up the pace and you better learn. So ways in which I was able to adapt is just being very open-minded. Being open-minded to learning, being open-minded to change, being open-minded to everything that comes your way. And secondly, always don't be afraid to ask questions. Don't be afraid to ask questions when you're not sure. Don't be afraid to ask questions of how things are done. Like, who lives at Ujinga, in all honesty? So you should be like, just ask the questions. Like it sounds foolish, like to you maybe at the time, like in your mind, I think we overthink things a lot. In your mind, it might sound a bit foolish, but like to somebody else, it's just like, wow, somebody that actually asked me this question and they are willing to guide you and like be there with you and walk with you. So like, I don't think we should be afraid to ask questions. Like how else are you gonna grow if you actually like, you don't ask a question? Like no one knows everything. No one knows everything. Like even the person who you're asking or the people who you are seeking guidance from never knew they were in the same stage that you were in. And the questions that you may ask them, they also don't know. So they will be learning with you. So be very open to asking questions and be always seek an adventure in one way or another. Like learning is always an adventure because it's something new, it's something that you are not aware of, and growth can only happen outside of your comfort zone. So
yes,
always have like a support system, whether it be a friend, whether it be like a mentor or somebody very close to you. Like be around them and they'll support you and they'll be there with you, and just know that you're never alone.
Interesting, now that you say that, someone told me as well, clearly I've talked to a lot of someones, but someone told me that it's very hard being an introvert in an extroverted world, where for extroverts, it's easy to ask the questions, easy to show up as yourself. But for some of us who are introverts, it's very hard to put ourselves in such positions. So for you, you're clearly an extrovert. Or are you, would you rebut that?
On the contrary, I'm not an extrovert. I am not.
Really?
I'm not.
No way. No
I'm
way.
An introvert. I am an
I was this close to taking my money to the bank. Tell me about that.
Oh, how so? Please, please send it back by way. Send it
how
back
are you an
just reroute.
Extra, how are you an introvert? Interesting. And then tell me about, you said early in your life you were very shy. How do you build your confidence? When do you get your confidence? Talk to me about all this and self-image as well. Mm-hmm.
To start with, I am not an extrovert. I always say this. I think it's a weird discovery that I made the other day, is that you can have introverted extroverts and extroverted introverts. Introverted extroverts are like the people who choose to be by themselves. Like, they are comfortable being in their own space and just being with their own thoughts and everything. But when it comes to having a good time, they can have a good time, right? Like, I think I'm an introverted extrovert, right? But an extroverted introvert is the kind of person where they may show signs of being very extroverted, like being outgoing and always that person who you can talk to, always the, you know, the light of the party and everything, but they would rather be by themselves. Like, I know someone very, very close to me who is an extroverted introvert. Like, they go out and everything, like, they can have a good time, but if it is up to them, they would be indoors. Like, lock the doors, close the curtains. They don't want to hear from anybody. Switch off your phone. So I feel like there's always that variation. Then there's ambiverts who are like 50-50 introvert and extrovert. So for me, I feel like I'm a bit more of an introverted extrovert, like, since recently. As I said, like, I came, I think, from a place where I was very introverted because I didn't know who I was. I felt like I didn't belong probably where I was. And in some ways, still today, I kind of think like I'm kind of not like settled where I am. Like, I don't know who I am yet. But where that change came from was, one, always give credit to Alliance. And two, recently, like 2 years ago, I was put on a HR role. And with HR, you know, you're talking to everybody and anybody. Like, you're talking to everyone who works like in the institution. So that really got me out of my comfort zone. And I think I was able to, I learned how to speak out to people and just like kind of be myself. I'm still kind of trying to discover myself every day. Like, I don't think we fully know who we are. I don't think you can put like a pin on I am this and this and this person. Like, every day is constant growth. So I'm still kind of shy in my own ways. Like, I'm going to be very honest with you. I have huge, huge imposter syndrome. Like, the person who you probably see on Instagram is not the person who you think you're going to talk to in person. Like, if you ever see me and they'll be like, oh, hi, I know you from, that's not me. I don't know who you're talking about. Like, yeah, imposter syndrome is big. Like, I am not even shy about, like, sometimes I feel like I'm very two different personalities. But the thing I will say is always grow and allow yourself to learn and be the person who you want to be tomorrow, the person who you choose to envision to be. So, yeah.
Hope that answers your question. No, talk to me more about, you know, your HR role, because that's probably out of the scope of studying. Yeah. How did you land it? And how was it, you know, having to now interact with people? Because, you know, for us as people who are getting employed, HR are your biggest enemy. So tell me about that experience.
Oh, that role came very unexpected to me. I was working at a construction company, and I kind of just like, you know, like, I just kind of asked for like a role, whatever role was gonna come my way, and they put me in HR. So I was a HR intern. They didn't really have like HR at the time because, in construction, it's a bit tricky because you have people coming in and out. So they didn't really have like permanent HR. So I ended up being like a HR intern stroke manager. And that was very new to me because even the systems were not in place. So because of that being the case, I had to interact with every single person. Like, it was very impromptu. Every single person who's in the company, I have to talk to them. I'd be like, what's your name? Send me your documents, send me your CV, send me everything. And with time, like, even when I was able to talk to like everybody in this institution, it kind of gave me perspective to everyone's lives. Because again, I give credit to Alliance all the time in that it opened my mind to so many possibilities, so many different worlds and different understandings of people's backgrounds that when now I was put in HR. I don't know how life just has this kind of way of putting you in a place where it wants you to grow, or like something that you have not really like openly spoken about, but like you kind of wish you could be better in. And when I was put in HR, it really like boosted my confidence and took away my shyness and everything. So being put in that role was very like unexpected, but it really like it grew me to the person who I am today, and I'm always grateful. So yeah. I find that so difficult. I cannot be a people pleaser. Like the other day I was told like, hey Michelle, you need to tone down on some of the things that you do and some of the things that you say and how you act. I'm just like, I'm sorry, but like me, I put myself first. I came into this world by myself, and I will leave this world by myself. So I can't be a people pleaser, because I've come from a place where I was very shy and I didn't even know myself, to now that I kind of know myself and I know my worth, and now I'm going to be a people pleaser. I'm sorry. No, like I think everyone should be selfish but selfless in their own ways. I don't think I could be a people pleaser.
So how do you reach that point? Tell me how you reach that point.
I'm not being a people pleaser.
Yeah. And then you realize, as you said, you grow up, and the best thing you can do for yourself, one of the best things, is be selfish, because people who take have no boundaries. So you have to have boundaries for yourself.
That is true.
You know, so things can go well for you. Because a lot of people please us, you get to a loop where a lot of things are very detrimental to you, but you still do them because you're going to make people happy. Mm-hmm. So for you, how do you reach a point where it's like, God damn, this is me first, and then, you know?
Oh, that's a very good question. I don't even know how I got to that point, because again, I think I face a lot of imposter syndrome from time to time. So even trying, like if I have a personal issue, like trying to like kind of discover myself, I don't think I'm gonna have the time to make everyone else happy. Again, coming from a place where like you're very shy and you're very enclosed, and I'll say like, for me, when you're shy, you feel like you can't even ask a question. You don't even feel like you're worthy of being given the time. So now when you have like that kind of, you know, that butterfly moment where you're just like, no, this is me first. You can't go back. You can't go back. So what did I say to that? I don't know. It's you come first. You come first before anyone else. I think everyone is always on a journey to grow themselves, and you should be as well. So I find it very difficult to just even be a people pleaser. Even with how you grow up, depending on the background that you have. I think because I'm a firstborn, I'm very rebellious. You'd think a middle child is rebellious, but like I'm a firstborn and I'm very, very rebellious. In the sense that, as the first kid, I was always told that as a firstborn child, you're always going to be a guinea pig of your parents, where they'll kind of test a few things out on you. Like, they limit you on a few things, but they won't limit you on your siblings. Like, it's easier for them. But I was told, like, that's the reason why you're firstborn, so that your siblings can have an easier time. But, like, being the firstborn comes with its own sets of challenges, where there's even this video I saw on Instagram where there was kind of, like, three people were giving the personality or like their views on how they would raise their kids, and a firstborn child would raise their kid by allowing them the freedom and everything. A secondborn child was, I can't remember what a secondborn child was, but the thirdborn child was always about, oh, you know, you should take care of your parents, you should love them, you know, all that kind of thing, because them, they've had it easier. As a firstborn, oh, you want to be out. I remember when I was sent to boarding, I got the letter on a Friday. I was supposed to report like on Sunday or like on Monday, like a few days later. I was ready to leave that Friday. I was like, I'm out of here. So
are you being for real? Ain't no
I'm sorry.
Way.
I was ready to be out of the house. So ain't I think because as a firstborn, you know, you have to be very respectful to your parents, right? So now when it gets to a point where you're just like, I now me, Javani, even me, I deserve a bit of loving, you know, a bit of kindness. So that's why I think I'm not a people pleaser. Just it's a firstborn tendency, perhaps. Correct me if I'm wrong. Yeah.
But that's very interesting, because I thought first every video on Twitter I see firstborn daughters complaining
and saying about the really restrictions, especially being a firstborn daughter, not even a firstborn son, a firstborn daughter. Oh my gosh, you are not leaving that house until somebody eligible is coming to pay your dowry, and that's when you can be out of the house. Otherwise, where do you think you're going? You're staying there, Andy, until you're 30, 32. You're not going anywhere. So I think that's how it's always been for me. Like I'm very, again, being a firstborn, going to Alliance, very open-minded, I think very free-minded, very, like, I want an adventure. Does that make sense? Like, life should be an adventure. So I guess that's why I think, for me, it's not, I put me first before I put anyone else first.
Yes.
Yeah.
So even for you, going abroad was an easy choice. It wasn't a matter of, I should stay for undergrad.
Oh, yeah. There's always that conversation with yourself and probably like with your parents where you're like, oh, you're firstborn, you don't want to leave your parents. How will they feel? How will they? No. Me, it was very easy. I'm like, oh, I'm going to boarding. I'm out. I'm going abroad to the UK. I'm out. Okay, now I'm in a situation where I come back from the UK and now like I live at home. So it's just like, damn. Yeah, I'm ready to be out again. You know, when you have that freedom, it's very difficult to like, it's very difficult to let go of. So I always say, like, when you come from living by yourself and then you're going back to live with your folks, it's a different turn. It's a very different turn.
You're used to the freedom now. Hey, curfew.
You're answering to somebody.
Yes.
Yeah.
How are you coping with that, by the way?
It's been good. I'll always say, when you're with your folks, you're saving yourself a lot of money. You're saving yourself rent. You're saving yourself what? But the easier to be to ndogo ndogo, you know, your own shopping where they won't cater for you. But like, I can't lie, you're saving yourself tons, especially in this economic crisis. Oh my God, watch out too.
What?
Watch out too.
You can stay home for a few more years.
Years? Don't rush me. Hey. Like, please, a few more months.
And then you're seeing your colleagues feeding a whole family, paying school fees with the same salary, just wondering, how are you guys doing all this?
How are you people making this happen? But it's possible. Obviously, it's always possible.
And of course, we can't, you know, wind up without talking about content creation. Talk to me about that, how you entered creating content, because your content is really good and really neat. You know, you're one of my top 1% creators who I enjoy watching.
Oh my
Instagram.
God, stop! Really? Thank you.
Hata kama squeezy, you're doing kazi mekupeleka haraka, ni sawa. I can't wait for you to start being more consistent. I will wait.
Content creation started from a very long time ago. It started with YouTube. I have channeled my YouTube, you know, selfless perk. I was on YouTube since like high school, back in the day when I was just telling stories for time about my high school encounters and everything. And surprisingly, like, I was looking at my statistics. I don't know why, but I happened to take screenshots of like how many subscribers I gained over the years. And I remember when I was in high school before I joined uni, maybe I was like at 400. I got to uni, it was like 500. By the time I quit YouTube, or I took a break from YouTube, I was like at 900 and something. So I kind of thought about it at the time. I was just like, that was an insane growth, especially for the time when YouTube really wasn't YouTube. Like, YouTube used to be for the OGs, like in the LOD Zone, like in the Shakta Youngin, like in the Joy KD, those guys, like, those are the real G's. I don't know who I thought I was, but I was just posting videos on YouTube and I was just like ranting about my life and just saying the most ridiculous things. Like, anybody who is a YouTuber knows that if you watch your videos from back in the day, you will cringe. You will cringe so badly. You're just like, oh my God, I want to just choke the living hell out of you. Like, what were you doing? But it shows the growth. It shows the growth. And even for, like, I'll talk about my Instagram as well. My Instagram just used to be a thing where I used to just post pictures and I didn't really think twice about it. Like, I remember someone close to me sent me pictures of like things or like people that I used to look up to back in the day, and like who they are now and who I thought they were back in the day. I was like, damn, like these are the people who I'm even boys with, like who I'm friends with, who I talk to today. And I used to think like they were the real G's, like H's. These guys were the cool kids. Cause hey, mem, because I went to like I was in a school in Nyeri. I actually need to clarify this. I was a Nairobi kid. I was a Nyeri kid. Shout out to Mount Kenya Academy. I was in Mount Kenya Academy. So I was I was raised in Nyeri, but born in Nairobi. So content creation was just more of like a creative outlet for me. I didn't even think twice about it at the time. I just used to post pictures about anything and everything. Like back in the day, Instagram used to be like, it never used to like conform to like aesthetics or trends or anything like that. Like you could post anything and everything. That's kind of where I started out from. And in some ways, like people kind of found me and like that's how the growth kind of grew. But I didn't give it too much time of my attention. I was just like, likes, whatever, move on with my day. It became a big deal recently, I think 2 years ago, when I hit maybe like 12k followers. I was like, oh my god, if you think about 12,000, 15,000 people like in a stadium, those are a lot of people. Like I never used to think twice about it. So nowadays probably I used to like put in a lot of effort in my content. Especially when I was in uni, I used to probably travel a lot. I used to like do cooking. I still kind of do like, you know, like trends here and there. I think social media has really allowed me to connect with people and also grown me on a personal level, in the sense that, you know, like when you post on Instagram or like on social media, that person, those are picture perfect, like picture perfect pictures. But like in reality, qua ground, things are very different. Like that is not the same person you probably meet. So for me, how I always depicted Instagram was the person who I thought I could grow up being, or like the better version of myself who I wanted to be. So that's kind of what I was going for. So every time, like literally I'm on my Instagram, even as much as I don't do as much today, I'm always scrolling and I'm just like, wow, this is the person who I really want to show up as. So Instagram for me is like kind of my mood board, my inspirational board. Like it's never been about like the followers or the likes or anything. Like don't get me wrong, everyone will always tell you, oh, you know, people who've made it on Instagram will always think like that. But literally that's actually how it is, because when you don't see it as probably like an avenue of income, but like on a personal level as for growth, that's how my Instagram always has been. I've kind of decreased on it a bit more because corporate life really got to me. Like if you're not doing a 12-hour shift nowadays, like I don't even know what I'm doing. Even posting today, posting like recently is been a hustle. Because you know when you're at work, you shouldn't be seen on your phone that much. And like you don't even have the time. You don't have time. If you're not trying to create content during the weekends, I don't know what other time that you have, because Monday through Friday, like 12-hour shifts or 8 to 5, 9 to 5, whatever time that you're doing, you don't have that time. So right now I'm trying to find a balance between working and going back on, I'm on YouTube. I recently went back to YouTube. I think for me, I always try and create like memory vlogs or something like that, like to kind of remind me of who I was a few years ago, a few months ago, and where I am today. So that's how my social media has always been. So I'm kind of back on that here and there. Again, always give credit to the person who I am today. Even being on this podcast, I was just like, damn, girl, you made it. You're on a podcast? Oh, wow. So social media is a very, very big, huge, underrated avenue of networking, on growth, on so many things that could help you. Like, I don't know if anyone has ever seen that picture where like, or that like that video where they say you thought you were too good to make dancing videos like on TikTok, and now look at you working 9 to 5. people who make those things, I remember when TikTok came out, I was just like, damn, this could be me. What are these dancing videos? My friend, yeah, you missed out. You missed out. Like
you missed out. Now that's a kid in the bag.
Big time, you missed out. So I always say be open to anything and all opportunities and all avenues. You're never too good or less than to join anything. Like allow yourself to learn and get into it, because this life is short. So you do anything and everything that you can to make your bag secure your bag, bro, and just
real.
Yeah.
And I love how you've also spoken about authenticity, that you just being authentic led you to, you know, just attracting the right people, the right followers. Because a lot of people try play the social media game and try, you know, keep up with the Joneses. And, you know, somehow your audience can be able to tell when you're just lying, when this thing, and that lying is not sustainable. At some point, guys just get tired. But when you're authentic, as you've said, clearly even you weren't expecting to, you know, have this many followers, and voila.
Be true to yourself. Like, don't try and pretend to be who, because people can see through the lies, people can see through the cracks. They'll be like, girl, we see you. So for me, every day I'm just like, even with everything that I post, everything that I put out, I'm always focused on my personal growth. So just focus on that. Don't focus on numbers, don't focus on the likes or anything. Like, there will never be anyone else but you in this world. Don't try to be anybody else, because why are you trying to be a copycat? Like, be original, you know? It's like there's you. Like, God created you being you, and you can't try to be anybody else. So whatever mistakes you learn or you make along the way, it's fine. Like, just keep going, keep pushing at it, and you will discover yourself. You can only allow yourself to discover yourself if you actually take the leap of faith and just do what you have to do.
So what's the balance between, because a lot of guys still ask, fake it till you make it. So would you agree with that statement, or what do you think about that?
Oh yeah, I would. I definitely would. I'm telling you, like, I have imposter syndrome. If you see me today and tell me, oh, you follow me on Instagram, Instagram what? Instagram who? That's not me. I would always feel like, kind of like, fake it till you make it, but like on a personal level, in the sense that personally, like, how you kind of portray yourself on social media or anything, let it be who you are in reality. Even if you feel like that's not you yet, it's fine. You'll get there, but like, you also, you'll adapt and you will evolve with time. Even like, if you go with the quote of like, fake it till you make it, there'll come a point where you stop faking it and now you're just making it. Like, you are you, but you're making it in life. So I don't know. Like, yeah, you do what you gotta do. Like, show up and show out. That's what I'll
say. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
For you, is there an end goal with the content creation, or is it just, you know, vibes and inshallah?
It's vibes and inshallah. Oh my gosh. The goal is to make as much money as you can. I'm not gonna lie to you. Connect with people, learn from people. Grow on an individual and personal level. I don't think I personally have an end goal with everything that I pursue, because like, when you kind of start a hobby or an activity or something that you are set out to do, I don't think we have an end goal. We have a vision, but I don't think you kind of have like an end goal. Maybe if you're running, even when you're running, the aim is not to reach, like, it's not to get to the end. Is to keep going, you know, like, keep going. Like, it's 5 kilometers, 10 kilometers, whatever it be. You are trying constantly and progressively to just keep going from 1 kilometer, 2 kilometers, whatever it may be. So it's a constant journey and growth. And I know this from probably Will Smith's book. Even anything that you hope to achieve, the aim is not to get to the end. The aim is to discover the person who you're going to be along that journey. So,
wow,
yeah,
hey, let me put that on a t-shirt. The aim is not to get to the end.
I want my commission. I want my copyright.
Noted with thanks.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That's really how it is.
But even as you wind up, one thing I have also noticed is that you've learned the art of balancing what you want people to see and your private life. So people don't know very little. People know very little about your private life, if at all.
Yeah.
Right? How have you been able to balance that, so you're not one of the creators who you saw so much about your life that people now get very entitled to your life, your things, you know? So have you learned that the things that are for me, for my family, my close friends, and then the things that, you know, I'm willing to put out and, you know, so how have you learned that balance?
I think it's a constant journey because every day I'm never really sure of like how much I'm actually portraying of my personal life. There are things obviously that you deserve on a personal level. That is, I think I draw a boundary when it comes to my family, when it comes to my relationships, when it comes to my friendships, anything it may be, that is on a very personal level. Because once you give people that access and they think that, you know, they're entitled and you deserve to give an explanation, that's where you go wrong, you know. Like, just show what, you know, like when we say when you're on social media, whatever your niche is, focus on that niche. You don't need to go too personal. You don't need to go across the fence just to get like more views and more likes and whatever. Like, there's some things that you deserve to have for yourself that not everyone else deserves, because once you give access to everybody to that, it's never yours anymore. It's everybody else's. So I'll always say, protect your peace. Whatever you think is very meaningful and personal to you, you don't have to talk about it. Like, you don't have to show your life on social media. Social media is socializing and putting out media, but like, you don't need to put your personal life out there. So how I put that balance is, I've had a debate so many times with my family where they're like, oh, why don't you put us on your Instagram? Why don't you show us? I'm just like, I don't think I want like that kind of distraction or that kind of invasion in my life. So you are my peace, and I will always protect my peace. I don't need anybody else coming to distract it or be entitled or like take it away from me. So how you find that is just kind of have like a sit down with yourself and declare what you want to be yours and what you're okay giving out to the world. Like, it's like a secret recipe. Like, you know when you have when you're selling like, I'll say like a cake, right? Like chocolate cake or something like that. And there's always that kind of secret recipe. You can give the basic recipe, but you can't give out what that secret ingredient is. So that's like, just keep that to yourself. Like, you don't need to share it with everybody else.
Yes. And also understanding that they don't really care until you're being dragged is when now everyone has a reason. Say,
oh my god, like, even I'll say this, keep some of your thoughts to yourself. Oh my gosh,
right?
Like, not everybody is entitled to your thoughts and opinions, because not everyone thinks like you. You know, if you think twice about a certain comment and you're just like, should you be saying this out loud, or like, I don't know if I should be, no, just don't even say. Like, once you really question what you think you're gonna say, what you're gonna put out, don't put it out, because hey, you can be dragged. You can be dragged across the floor. Like, that's, I'm not gonna lie, that's how I left Twitter. I was dragged across the floor, and I was just like,
are you serious?
It's not for the weak-hearted. I left.
What happened?
No. I think I made a comment, and it was just like an opinion. I was just like, do you think this was instigated for this kind of traction, or like, do you think this kind of brought around? It started like a whole trend or something. And I deleted the post, and unfortunately for me, somebody already took a screenshot, and I was dragged across the floor. So,
and you said you do not have to worry about me.
Yeah. Like, whatever thoughts you have, just share it with like your close friends, your best friends, whatever. Like, not everyone needs to know what you're thinking.
True, and that's very important to note, because sometimes you think, hey, this poor. Someone told me that sometimes points from media seem so friendly to you, like how people DM you, how you inspire me. But then when things go south, those are the same people.
So they leave you.
Yes.
They leave you.
Ooh. With quickness. So never confuse social media friends with actual friends. Don't
that confuse. That is so true. That is
because that's
true.
Where you really go wrong.
That you need to like get the difference, because I know I've made friends off of social media, and like, if I've met you in person, I know your personality, like I can call you my friend. But like, if we're just talking on social media and like we have never actually met, no, I'm sorry, I'll see you're like an acquaintance, like you're a stranger to me. We're not friends, I can't even say you're a mutual friend. You know, like how you have mutual friends where like this person follows this person, like your mutuals. No, we're not mutual friends, we're mutual strangers. So like, keep your distance. Yeah.
Let's not get it twisted.
Oh my god.
And so for you as well, has it been easy in all phases of your life making new friends, or are you the type to cling on to your friends and stick with your friends throughout?
I've always found it very difficult to make friends. I don't even know why. I don't even know why. I used to question it a lot, maybe when I was younger, but like nowadays, I'm just like, damn, I don't need anybody. I don't need everybody to be my friend. Like the close, tiny dot of a circle of friends that I have today are the people who I cherish the most, and I keep them very close to me. Like I always say, like, have your safe space, and they are my safe space. I will do anything and everything that it takes to keep them close to me, and I always protect them and everything. So if I think for me, making friends is difficult because if I already pick up like an off character about you, like we're done, I'm just like, you can't change that for me because I'm very, very picky with my friends. So even if you do anything like that is like crosses the line, I'm sorry, we're not friends. We're not friends. So I don't make friends that easily. Like, yeah, I'll chit chat here and there with you, but to call you my friend, you have to be very close to me, and you have to be like, oh, like, you know, like, I don't know, say, like, you have to have, like, we add value to one another. Does that make sense? So
Yes.
yeah, I find like my close friends, like, they know themselves. They're like, I probably have like four or
No
five, and like in a
way.
day I talk to maybe like one or two of them, because like we're all working people, like we're all working babes and guys and everything. So like I will talk to like one or two of my friends on a daily, but like I think on a weekly basis, at least I've talked to like probably all of them. Yeah.
No way. Four, really?
Yeah, four. I know that is very different from like probably, I'll say this, it's very different from probably like number of followers that you see me having, but like your child, like I only have four friends, literally four friends, and they're all from like high school, and like one is from uni. So yeah.
How come? But I thought uni is when now you're away from home, you're building, those friendships. How did you get proper solid friends in there? Or were guys catty, or is it just we're just here because we see each other? After here, deuces.
I think, yeah, that's the thing with uni. Like, we see each other, we're friends in uni, and then after uni, just like everyone is on their own path, you know, everyone's like discovering themselves. So, all adults and everything. But if you become lifelong friends from the time like you're kids, you are going to be friends till the death, till death do us part. So, I don't know. I made friends here and there in uni, but again, like I'm saying, everybody went their own ways. I think everyone kind of had their own ideas, and things change over time, and I never have like any like hard feelings or anything. Like I love my friends, I love them and I cherish them. So like if you, I will say this, if you loved me when I was in high school, like damn, we're friends for life. We are locked in high school. No, uni was more of like we're kind of discovering ourselves, so we don't even really know who we are. It's so, like we're just friends because like yeah, we go to the same uni, and like in UK, even meeting Kenyans, ah, you meet Kenyans and you think you're besties for life. Please, you go back to Kenya, it's just like, crickets. Your phone is just showing
Really?
crickets. Yeah, it is. Actually, that's the case. Like, one of my friends who's in the UK is actually coming to Kenya. She's Kenyan, but she lives in the UK. So she's coming to Kenya really soon, and I'm so excited to see her. So, like, that's how you know you build like friendships. I don't
Yes.
know if it's just me. Like, my friends, my high school friends, we've been friends for, is it 9 years now? Next year is like 10. Like all three of them, we've been friends for like 9, 10 years. So I love them to bits.
Oh, amazing. So even
Yeah.
as you wind up, that's very interesting. Because of course, as you said, if you see on social media, we'd think you're friends with every Tom, Dick, and Harry, But one thing I really admire is how you set boundaries in your life properly with your social media, with your friends. So guys know that, hey, if Quinta says the people know their positions in your life, so they won't feel bad or some type of way if you don't call them for things, because you've set that boundary with them, and that's very amazing. I think I need to learn that. After this call, I'll talk to you and you may attend. You give me more tips on how to
Audit
set
your
this
friends.
boundary.
You need audit your friends right now. If you haven't already, audit them now. Like write a list of all your friends, and like I'll say this, like kind of like audit them. Like, how does this person impact you in my life? Is it in a positive way? Is it in a negative way? I feel like that's how I'm able to really like, you know, differentiate who is my friend, who is just like, you know, an acquaintance, or like just somebody who I meet for whatever. Because the thing is, if you don't know how to differentiate your friends who are like close to you and those like who probably you go out with or those you meet at work or those who you're at uni with, you're going to have a very big problem because you will think all your friends are supposed to treat you in a certain way when they are just friends for like certain situations. So I think you should do like a very, very good audit, like a very deep dive audit of your friends, because it gets to a point where if you're having a difficulty, you need to know who you're going to be talking to. Or like if you're having a good time, or like you've had like this kind of like something good has happened to you, you need to know who you're talking to. Because like if, let's say for example, you want like a million USD, whatever, however,
from your mouth,
you just have the money. Who are you telling? Uh-huh. You're not telling your party friends. Yes. Because those party friends are going to be like, hey, let's go out, let's drink, let's what. If it's your personal friends, they'll tell you, like, they will give you advice in a way, like, they'll be happy for you. But, like, they'll also be like, okay, what are you going to do with this money? What is your plan? Like, what is your projection? Are you investing? Are you buying real estate? Like, that kind of thing. You need to know, like, differentiate your groups of friends.
Yes. Interesting. And as well, as you said, you know, if you don't differentiate those boundaries, you get into that crisis of who really, when you need them, you can't, that's not the time to start deciphering who really are my friends. And then when they're not treating you right, you're saying people are fake, but really they were not your friends to begin with. Why are you saying people are fake? And you know, for them, they're just thinking, I dash, we're not boys like that.
It's humbling. Oh my god, I think that's what happened to me in uni. Like most of my uni friends were like the going out friends. I never really had probably like solid friends. I know like friends who would even call you out if you did something wrong. Friends who would like go and study with you and all of that. Like I knew personally where I put my friends. So it's good to establish like that boundary.
Hey, that's homework for me. That boundary and auditing, I need to do it ASAP. So I stop thinking that anyone who's kicking with me is my friend.
Yeah, way. Hey, it'll find you in the pits, bro.
Umeni won.
Yeah.
So, lastly, even as we end up, what do you think you would tell your future self? Like, 10 years you time, in 10 years time when you come back to listen to the episode, what would you want Michelle to hear that you said?
Ooh, okay, my future self. What did I tell my future self? Or is it, what did I tell my future self, or what did my future self tell me now? Okay, let me think of that.
What you can do both. Let me not put a full stop where God is putting a comma. So you can do both.
Because I'm really trying to think. I would tell my future self to keep on discovering who you are. Do not be afraid to take that risk or that leap of faith. You will overcome. You will overcome every challenge that comes your way. Be wild and free. This life is short. I'll say this, you are worthy of everything that is happening to you and everything that, like every good thing that comes your way, I will say you are worthy of it. And you have so much more to discover, so much more to learn. And don't be afraid to be a better version of yourself every single day. Yeah, that's what I was saying. Yeah.
And so what would you tell current Michelle?
Current Michelle, girl, I'm proud of you. I will say that. I will say I am very, very proud of you. Delulu is the Salulu. My cousins told me Delulu is not the Salulu. Me, for me, Delulu is the Salulu. Being delusional is a solution to everything. Take that risk, no matter like how big of a job it may be. You do what you have to do.
Until it's a Nairobi relationship that you want to be the Lulu, there.
Hey, Draw the line there.
I hope
can you make smart decisions, please? How have people not learned till today? Like, please. Hey, Nairobi. Itakuonyesha.
You already took your character development and learned quickly.
Yeah, never going back there. Never going back there. Oh, wow.
Lol.
Yeah. Humbling experience. Yeah.
Oh, lovely. So, allow the listeners to tweet at us at the Bushian Pod, follow us at the good, the bad, and the Bushian. Tell us all the things they've loved about this episode. I hope I'll be seeing you, Michelle, and even my audience at the PodQuest on the 10th of December, which is a scavenger hunt. Yes, sir. Even as we, that's the last event of the year, even as we wait for the podcast annual gala, which guys have been waiting for the whole year. So, really exciting times ahead. So, guys, have a lovely week ahead and cheers.